Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire, and this is the official Lions podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. Eric, it is upon us.
Yeah.
Today's Wednesday. The veterans have reported for duty for training camp, including Darius Slay and Snacks Harrison. We'll talk about that shortly.
Yeah, it's... You know, we've been talking about it for a while, but I still feel like it kind of snuck up on us. You know, I feel like it's all of a sudden it's here. So it seems quick to me.
You might not hear it in his voice, but Eric is about as excited as he possibly gets. He's giddy, like a school child. He's very excited for training camp to get going. He'll be in Allen Park tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be in Allen Park all but like 2 days over the next 3 weeks. So over the next 2 weeks, it's going to be like 14 out of the next 16 days or something like that, or 15 out of the next 16 days. I will be either in Allen Park or at Ford Field. I get 1 day off, which will be...
Boo-hoo.
Well, that will be coincide with my daughter's birthday. So we're having her birthday party there. And so, it's going to be a busy, packed, full of information, fun couple of weeks here. Leading up to the first Patriots game on August 8th.
All right, so before we get ahead of ourselves, let's talk about what's happened the last week. Lions have a 90-man roster to fill out, and they did it. They added tight end Austin Traylor.
Yeah, he's a tight end out of Wisconsin. Bounced around
a Bronco at some point?
Most recently. Right. He was actually in the AAF most recently, but he was a Bronco in the NFL. Prior to that, he was with a couple other teams on their practice squads and stuff. But he stood out most with the Broncos. Had a legit shot of doing well with their organization. But when they changed coaching staff, they went in a different direction. So the Wisconsin coach was Paul Christ, right?
Paul Christ, right? Yep.
So he was the guy who Traylor attributes for helping him stick with football. And then Chris' brother was the Denver Broncos tight ends coach. So, like, there was a very natural fit for him. The coach that kept him in the leagues and then his brother helps him along. And so there was a nice natural path for the roster for him. Did okay, I guess, in the AAF, enough to catch the Lions' attention.
Apparently better than Bo Nunn.
And, well, they, you know, I know people are getting like, oh, man, they're adding another tight end. Well, realistically, they lost Michael Roberts. And then they added him. So they still have the same amount.
It's a 90-man roster. Exactly. They got a lot of everybody.
Right. And if you're keeping four and you have six, that's really not that significant. I mean, the big one is, what, receiver, right? You're keeping maybe four or five receivers, and you've got, what, 12 or what do you have? Four, five, and another four. So that's 13. You got 13 receivers. You're keeping maybe four or five. So there's a lot more receivers than there are tight ends. And I don't think we need to worry about adding another tight end at this point. This is a pretty natural part, considering, I think, what they want to do.
Tight end is a hot-button position for the Lions this year. Yeah. A lot of people see him as rather useless. The guy sitting across from you doesn't think they're useless, mm-hmm. but knows that Stafford doesn't really use him in the passing game traditionally. We'll see what happens under Bevel this year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Like, I want to be optimistic when it comes to that.
Sure. Right.
Next up, the Lions have placed Trey Flowers, Steve Longa, that's red flag, and Tommy Lee Lewis on the pup list, physically unable to perform list. Is there any real concern for Trey Flowers? He's a gamer.
Yeah. Well, look, Flowers had, because he went so long into the playoffs through the Super Bowl, he wasn't able to get that minor shoulder surgery that he required. So post-Super Bowl, he got it. Lions knew about it. He had it before free agency. The Lions doctors checked on him, felt confident that they could still give him that $90 million contract. So it seems to be all minor in issue. Plus, he knows the scheme inside and out. And like you said, he'll be ready to play at the drop of a hat. He won't need those reps. He should be able to step in and be ready to go. So not really concerned about Flowers. Longa is still recovering from his ACL from the fourth game of the preseason last year. That's mildly concerning.
Yeah, it's concerning.
Yeah, a lot of guys with these ACLs can return faster.
They seemingly come back faster. If this was 1998, this would be no surprise.
Yeah, so mildly concerning. And linebacker is an area where people, there's more competition this year. So I think he really needs to get out there in order to make sure that he can, if he wants a real shot at the roster, he's going to have to get out there and hold some people off. Tommy Lee Lewis was injured in spring camp. So he, it's not a surgery for him. It's just a part of the healing process. So he could be ready at any time. But the last time I saw him, he was limping pretty noticeably around the practice field, trying to keep up with the quick paced practice in the spring.
Was Adrian Peterson...
It was like 4 months or 5 months, something silly.
That was when we first... That was when it became widespread that we all noticed that.
Yeah.
The ACL injuries are no longer year-long injuries.
Yeah. It was freakish. Realistically, it was probably 6 months, but it seems like it was something like absurd. Like he came back...
Came back four weeks later.
Right. Something silly.
All right, next up, the Lions placed and removed Chris Lacy from the PUP list.
So Lacy was hurt at the same time Tommy Lee Lewis, actually a couple days earlier. He was part, because he has limited snaps in the NFL, he's able to participate in the rookie training camp, which happens a week before the veterans report. So he reported, they put him on the PUP, they checked him out, and then he got healthy within 4 days, and then they cleared him, and now he is ready to go. So maybe you could see a similar timeline with Tommy Lee Lewis, but, you know, all injuries are unique. So, but they happened right around the same time. Lacy's already ready to go.
All right. Lions open the first train.
We should add the other.
Oh, you want to add Austin Bryant, P.J. Johnson?
Yeah. Austin Bryant, P.J. Johnson, John Atkins, Ryan Pope, all rookies. I'm sorry, Atkins is the second year man. Yeah. Yep, thank you. All of them were on the NFI list. And again, like Lacy, were put on, and then 4 days later, were taken off. So it's, you know, it's not the end-all, be-all by the Flowers and Longo and Lewis being put on the PUP list. They could come off tomorrow, you know, ahead of training camp for all we know. So it's just precautionary stuff right now.
All right.
Thanks.
Switching over to practice, we just mentioned already the veterans reported today,
yeah,
on Wednesday. The rookies, as you mentioned, reported last week, just like pitchers and catchers, Major League Baseball. They get to show up a bit early.
Right.
But the fans, not allowed. Not allowed in until tomorrow.
Yeah, and originally it was a season ticket holders only event, that first practice, but then they opened it up to the general public. So... probably because it's a Thursday morning and those are, it's hard to draw a crowd, I think, on a Thursday, on a weekday morning. And so my guess is they weren't getting the numbers that they wanted from their season ticket holders. Then they said, let's open it up to everybody. They're still doing some special things for the season ticket holders who registers. They have like specialized seating and other nicks and crannies and stuff. So, but it's open to everybody, and you know, it should up the attendance, and we'll see what happens. You know, by the weekend, there I would think the numbers would go up when it's a little bit more, you know, accommodating for.
Is the weather
schedules.
Brutal this weekend? Is it overly hot? I made a big noise.
I don't think it is. I think, you know, it's not like last week, right?
When the 86 for the high on Thursday.
Yeah, so it's not terrible. It's a little warmer than today. Not, you know, it's not like it was a few days ago when it was 96 and you know, the humidity was really terrible. Should be okay. If you're a person who requires shade, they have shaded areas there if you want to go there and sit in the shade. So they try and do their best to make sure that if you want to attend, they can make it as accommodating, I guess, as possible.
86, 87, 88, 89, increasing by a degree a day.
Mm. I don't do good with the humidity, so hopefully that humidity index stays low over the next 4 days. So 4 days of practice, right? They have practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. Then they have Monday off, and then they go into basically like the second week of free agency. So we'll talk about...
free agency.
I'm sorry. The second week of training camp. It's been a long lead up to this for me, I guess. I'm already a little bit rusty.
Now, how much tackling, how much live work can they do in those 4 days? 15 total minutes, maybe 20 minutes? Aren't there new rules?
I know that they were contemplating new rules. I don't know if they were put in place. I know when we talked to Patricia about it around the draft time.
Patricia's big into practicing.
He is. And they talked about like changing the different drills that you could use.
They can't do Oklahoma anymore.
Right. And I know that they were putting those new rule implications in place for the spring. And then they were talking about it kind of being like a trial and error type process to see which ones would be applied to the fall. I don't know which ones are applied to the fall. It's possible the Oklahoma's back. It's also possible it's still gone. Patricia is creative enough in what he does during
find practices. A way to replace it, which is the exact same thing but call it different. Yeah. In South Dakota, have Zach Center lead it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it would be... You can alter one thing and make it a completely new drill, and it be there. There's ways around those sort of situations. That's for sure.
All right, Lions at August 2nd practice at Ford Field, which they're calling Family Fest, which I would argue that they couldn't call it that if it was at the Pontiac Silverdome.
Why not?
That was the last place where you'd want to take a family. A little wild at the Silverdome, a little less so at Ford Field. Ford Field can still get pretty rowdy at times.
Yeah, but you know, when they do these family events, they have all kinds of cool stuff for the kids. They have contests, they have they put stuff in the concourse, and you can get a variety of different things to keep your children entertained.
Attach them to bungee cords and have them run the football.
Yeah, you know what?
Wear the sumo suits and block each other.
All those things are very possible. They did not release a list of what those family-friendly activities were. They just said there's going to be some. Last year, they did not do a Ford Field event. They had the prior 2 years under Caldwell, but it's nice to see them get back to it. This is the when they are going to run their scrimmage, which is really a unique practice to watch, because Patricia really, as secretive as the Lions organization is, he's very open with the players, and what he presents is very like, this is how the depth chart is kind of aligned. And last year's scrimmage in that second week of camp was, you could really see who was where on the depth chart based on how they were utilized in that practice. And you could see why guys like Deshaun Shedd were in trouble. And you could be, there started to be some red flags that popped up based on that particular practice. And so now there's actually going to be, you know, some valuable football going on at Ford Field as well, not just the family portions. So if you're not going for your family and you're going for football, it's still an important practice to attend.
All right, speaking of practicing, 10 things we need to know for heading to training camp at Allen Park.
Yeah, I wrote an article. I'll bump the article. We'll link it in this. I'll bump it tomorrow morning so that people, if they're headed down there, it'll be a nice reminder for them. But it's, if you've never been to Allen Park before, they do things pretty unique. And so first thing first is it's completely free to go. You don't need tickets. They have you reserve if you're, partaking in the season ticket holder activities and stuff. But if you're just general admission, you don't need tickets. You can just show up and they let you in. But you can't show up in Allen Park at the facility.
Not enough parking.
Yes, literally do not have enough parking. There's businesses all around them. So you can't show up and park there. You can't drop people off at the front door. That's not allowed either. You have to use their transportation system. And so what they do is the Fairlane Mall, or I think it has a special name, like it's a Fairlane something.
Fairlane Town Center.
Yeah, something like that, right? But it's the Fairlane Mall.
Act like you don't live in this town. Fairlane, I know the podcast studio is far away from Allen Park.
But basically, in the article, I have an address, and the Lions say if you put this address into Google Maps, it'll give you the most accurate directions from wherever you're coming from. And so you get the Fairlane Mall, and then they have a shuttle service. Now, they're buses, but they're like big travel buses, right? They're not like your yellow bus that you took to school when you
were
in high school.
Not a yellow bus, not a bus filled with chickens.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, you know, you got padded seats and everything is nice and comfortable and there's a bathroom.
Air conditioning.
That you don't need to use because the trip's only 10 minutes long. And they, you know, they load you up pretty quick. They bus you over. And then they drop you off at the facility. They either drop you off at the front or the back. Either way, the protocol is the same. You go through these gated lines. You have to pass through security. There's a whole bunch of things you can and can't bring to the facility. And so there's a big list of those items. I have it in my article. Lions have it on their website. They tell you like you can't bring like food or drink. But then they also provide services that can that sell food and drink, like, you know, basically like food trucks and stuff like that on the premises of Allen Park. They got bathrooms there at a whole bunch of different locations. They have some nice ones in the middle. And if you bring like Lions memorabilia, you can get that signed after practices are over. The practices are supposed to start around 9:30. They last about 2 hours, so they go last till about 11:30. Then the players go over to the stands and they sign autographs for fans and stuff like that. It's a pretty cool thing. You know, you don't always get the big names, but sometimes the big names come down. Typically, though, there's an opportunity for you to get to meet a player or two or four, and it's fun. Now, if it rains, just rain doesn't really cancel anything. If it's lightning, then there's safety protocols that they take and stuff like that. But
does everybody get back on the buses?
You know,
all just stuck standing on the metal bleachers.
I always
take that option.
I can only think of one time that I went there in the last 4 years where it lightninged before practice and then it cleared up after that. And so it wasn't actually lightning. They still held the practice outside. So it passed pretty quickly. The bleachers were wet, so that's not always the most comfortable, but you just kind of have to be like, yeah, you know, if you knew it was going to rain, you hopefully came prepared for it. They have a hotline, again, that I put in my article, and it'll be on their website, that you can call, and they will tell you, yeah, rain's probably going to cancel this practice, or rain has canceled this practice. But I can only think of like one time in the last 4 years they've actually canceled something. Patricia does not really care about the rain. He uses it as an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, no, famously.
Right. And so if you're a fan and you don't mind it, then you can go. Now, you can't bring umbrellas or anything, which is an unfortunate side, problem for some people. But again, if you check the weather in Allen Park before you go down there, it'll give you a good indicator of whether or not you want to go. But like I said, for the most part, it's usually pretty nice weather, and there's sun, there's drinks, there's all kinds of things that you can do to make sure that you're feeling comfortable.
Team store, shirts and hats.
Yeah, I think there might actually be two stands that they have.
Yeah, why stop? Maybe they'll go to three this year.
Right, you never know. They have like an information desk where you can learn about like season tickets, and they you can meet like Rory. A lot of times, last year, they had opportunities for you to meet the former players. I think the last 2 years they've done that. You can get pictures with like guys like Corey Schlesinger and Jason Hansen and Lem Barney, I think, was there. No, all right. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Stop that.
They have like
the ambassadors, the Lions ambassadors.
And they usually bring a couple at a time, right? And so There's some neat things going on. Now, when they do their family events, it's much more elaborate for the kids. But if it's just a normal practice, then it might not be the most entertaining thing for a child under, you know, that's in the single digits.
Sure.
Yeah. But the Ford Field thing should be for them.
All right. So everybody enjoy going to training camp if they get a chance.
Yeah.
Time to move on to the next segment.
Yeah, next section is going to be my section. I'm going to see what we can do with a fun article that my guy Ty Finch wrote for Lions Wire. he basically wrote an article of like, basically like cliches that you need to, which ones are important and which ones should we avoid. And so I thought we'd play a nice game with you.
How I match up with how he, with what he felt.
Yeah. So I want to see if
I have not read this article and I'm known for my lack of preparedness. So,
so his article is what to watch for and what to watch out for. Right. So he has, he sectioned them off. He just came up with a couple of like things and said, be careful, like watch out for if someone in the media says this. So what's okay. something that he might say that someone in the media might say that might basically mean like nothing?
Oh, that somebody might say about the team?
Somebody might say about a player, like, oh, this player is...
Well, this player, well, gee, I don't even know exactly what you mean. This player looks great,
yes.
extra great.
Yep, like this player, like maybe this player is in the best shape of his life. Right.
That was the next thing I was okay. thinking was, look at this player. Look how fat he came in.
Okay. So he actually used both of these. And he said, if someone says this player's in the best shape of his life, he said that's something that you basically can kind of like disregard.
Because, I would say you disregard it because like, is he going to play his best in his best shape? So they have to play within like their body. Right.
Right.
And there was there's a bunch of examples of that in the Lions past where they've wanted players to lose weight or gain weight. And Aaron Gibson, it was always to lose weight.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, well, I mean, that was probably a fair, that was a fair thing they wanted them to do. But a lot of guys would perform better if they're heavier or, you know, in some cases lighter. They probably always wanted Antonio London or Tracy Scroggins to put on weight. And they probably right. always struggled to.
Sure. Yeah, so, like, basically, Ty said the same thing. You just... Just because he's in great shape doesn't mean anything. It just means he's in great shape. Doesn't mean it's going to improve his play on the field. But then the opposite, he said, if a player comes into shape in bad shape...
Yeah, that's probably a red flag, especially at the running back position.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, right. So like CJ Anderson is a guy that came in overweight.
Bowling ball-ish.
Well, he came in overweight in Carolina and then struggled in Carolina, which is what led to his cut.
Worked out great for him. All those extra meals. Ended up in L.A., ended up playing in a Super Bowl.
Well, and he looks better now in Detroit, and he seems pretty motivated. But, yeah, so you got one on both sides. So
everybody would have been saying that about A'Shaun Robinson last year because he
sure.
came in a lot heavier.
He did because I think they wanted him to be
but
at
they
the
wanted
nose.
Him that way.
Yeah.
So it's really, in that case, a little bit more of column A than column B, and he ended up playing pretty well.
Took
a few weeks to get into the swing of things.
I think he struggled at his weight, and I think he lost weight. And
oh, that's what you think corrected
what,
everything?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think he's back down to where he should be at the three with a lower weight, and that's why I think he did better. I think when he put on that extra, that's when he struggled. So... can you think of anything else off the top of your head?
This position group looks a lot better. The defense is ahead of the offense is the big one, which really doesn't mean a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's even not in a year where we have a new offensive coordinator. Now they're really going to double down on it because they're going to be like, well, the defense better be a whole lot ahead of the offense because they've had the defensive system in place for 2 years now, and the offense is just being put in. So that's going to become annoying. If they start slow in weeks 1, 2, and 3, it's like, okay, other teams can handle this. But at this juncture of the preseason,
mm-hmm.
it's fine.
Yeah.
It's more or less normal.
He said, Ty said, ignore this position group is dominating this other position group. Yeah, right? So you nailed it, right? That's another good one. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. I can help you with
it. Well, what about, can we get really specific about Hockenson? Like, Hockenson looks
sure.
terrible, but that's probably not fair because he probably is going to look terrible for a little while. Is that one of them or no?
That's not one of them, but that's a good one. He flipped it and he said, the one player that he was specific on was Matthew Stafford. And he said, you can basically ignore any and all Matthew Stafford talk.
Yeah.
He said,
well, all that matters now is how he performs in games. Whatever he doesn't practice.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he throws a pick in practice. He's going into his 11th season and, going into his 11th training camp, right? An interception in training camp isn't going to rattle him or throw off his trajectory.
Tom Savage is not nipping at his heels.
Right. I actually don't think there will be much Matthew Stafford talk. There really wasn't in the spring because he was doing what Matthew Stafford does, and there was nothing really serious of note. And for a veteran quarterback, you don't really it doesn't really warrant a lot of attention. You can pretty much ignore a lot of that stuff.
But if he lays a stink bomb in week one, then we got to start being ready.
We'll address that, I guess.
As we get closer to it. Also, last year has to be fresh in their minds. What happened against the Jets? It has to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least of the remaining players, there's how many guys probably, well, definitely weren't with the team and probably didn't even watch the game, so they didn't even know what happened. But, it's got to be alive in the minds of the coaches and players that are returning that they can't do that again.
Now, some have speculated that...
Especially against the Cardinals. Same scenario. Exact same scenario. Go ahead.
No, right. I agree. And some have speculated that maybe Patricia overworked them in his first year as a head coach, and they came in flat because they were tired, right? That has been a theory that's been floated out there. I don't know how much I buy it, but that does tie into one of Ty's things to watch for, was what are changes that Patricia makes in his second year. When reports come out about what Patricia is doing at training camp, how different are they? Is he making adjustments with the players? Are they able to acclimate differently? So those are things that he warranted, that he said warranted attention.
Yeah, I guess, Patricia's game planning in the preseason should not warrant any attention.
No, this is just practice.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm thinking out loud because I'm trying to come up with, because I'm like, well, what about this? No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a Tease Tabor related one. Is there a Tease Tabor?
No, the other ones are, the other last, he's got one on either side here that are both more kind of generic. He said.
Wait. Yes. Things to watch out for. Great play by one of the young wide receivers, because he's not making the team. He's not.
He actually said, if a journeyman player is getting attention, while it probably is not necessarily worth paying to on the surface, either you do need to keep it in the back of your mind, because that guy might end up making, could sneak on the roster. He said Brandon Powell is an example last year of how.
He's not a journeyman.
No, but he was saying
I'm looking for a journeyman.
No, we don't. I mean, I don't really know if we have a lot of.
Ode Abouche.
Yeah,
I don't
there
know.
You
that
go.
Would be probably the best example of
it. Yeah, that's a good one. And then we'll wrap this up. I'll give you the last one. And he said, don't worry if your star player, if you hear reports that your star player is struggling. If Kerryon Johnson doesn't look as sharp, look, don't worry. He's proven what he can do.
Look injured.
Right. But he's just saying, he's just referring to just play on the field. So he's like, don't get super worried if a legitimate star player looks like they're a little bit rusty. So it's a good, it was fun, and it's neat to kind of look at these things, because you're going to read articles that are going to have all these things listed in there, and I'm probably going to write articles that have these things listed in there, just because that's the nature of what's happening in at this time of the year.
Making an awful lot of noise over there, young man.
I apologize.
It's all right. So does the ball go back in my court?
Yes,
here for the second half of the podcast?
Yeah.
All right, 10 things Lions Wire will be watching for at training camp. Big one, Slay and Harrison decided that they want to be good citizens. They're not going to cause a problem. They're showing up to training camp. It's a good sign.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because Rosenhaus, who's both their agent, was in town last week. And so you have to speculate, was there something that
they must
said
have felt
amongst
they had a good
them?
Talk.
Yeah, right. And if they and they had to have, there has to be some comfort for them to just both say, okay, we're gonna show up. And this organization has a way of saying, hey, look, if you save face here, we'll make sure we take care of you. And they've done this in other situations in the past. So there's a realistic chance that this is kind of what happened. We'll work on this contract, show up, make sure we're moving in the right direction. We'll make sure we get something done. So they're here. And that's a real positive sign.
All right, next up, spotted in California last week, Matthew Stafford with Marvin Jones and Danny Amendola.
Yeah,
Why California? Who lives in California?
I am not sure.
Right.
I think...
Was it just a Disney World thing or land or whatever's out there?
I know that I think they were, I think the Staffords were taking like one last vacation before they
got to hunker down.
And I didn't really get a backstory on the other ones, but yeah, Amendola, you know, he's very active on social media and showing what a great looking guy he is and showing himself working out and like all this stuff.
I look forward to having him this year.
And
catch 30 balls.
And so, well, you know, 75 targets, he'll probably catch more than 30. That's my guess.
We'll see.
But they're working on chemistry in their off time, and you know, you can disregard that if you want, but it's neat to see that when you're implementing a new offense that people are still willing to put in the work beyond what's the schedule in front of them.
All right. The big battle at left guard. Really, this is going to take up all the news because there's really no other battles.
Well, there's one other battle.
Oh, the other cornerback spot.
Yeah. the left guard is really going to be interesting.
Is it real? For most fans, it won't be. I like line play. You like line play. But I could see most of the casual Lions fans have no interest in this battle.
Well, you have 25 starting positions, and 23 of them have starters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue different sets. You have even more starters in place, and you only have two spots that are really up for grabs. And so I think those will draw people's attention. Even the casual fan will be interested. Now, I don't know how many people will be able to ascertain exactly what's going on because it's difficult with the rotating players and what they're being asked to do. But what you will be able to tell is who's with the first team and who's with the second team. Is Abuche still at right guard, which he was in the spring, or are they now giving him reps at left guard because they think he's in competition at left guard? There's a lot of beat writers, that think Abuche is going to be the starting left guard this fall. He hasn't taken one rep at left guard that I've seen yet.
He's a late bloomer.
And he starts, right? He's started in several different organizations over the last several years, and he always finds a way to get into the starting lineup.
He'll probably find a way here, too.
But it sure seems like Kenny Wiggins is part of the plan, and the chemistry is there with Kenny Wiggins, and he was the first guy, all except for 2 days of camp when they were doing different experiments with him and Glasgow and moving. And I think Abushi is in the mix. I think Joe Dowell's in the mix. But this still seems to be Kenny Wiggins' job until something significant happens in my eyes. And for some reason, I'm in the minority on this. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't mind sticking to my guns on this stuff.
One more crazy roster position battle.
Yeah.
Pull back.
Yeah, right. Are they going to go with an H-back and like Nauta or Cunningham, or are they going to stick with Bowden? Or nothing at all?
Joe
Dowell. Or Joe Dowell. I mean, Joe Dowell, I think, makes it, and he's there anyways. I think Dowell has, there's a lot of promise on how you can use him. So, yeah, fullback's another interesting one, but I don't think that's as pressing as the left guard, that's for sure.
Most of the discussion this offseason, or at least late in the offseason, has revolved around Harrison and Slay, and now they both want contract extensions. One that has gone by the wayside is the Graham Glasgow contract situation. We have talked about it, but I would say Snacks and Slay have dominated the discussion over the past few weeks.
No, they're top seven players on this roster. Glasgow, he's not a top seven player on this roster. He's a top 25 player on this roster. And for me, it's not does he get an extension. It's when does he get the extension. Because we could go through Patricia's press conference tomorrow, and as the Lions like to do, after Patricia walks off the stage, they then release, Grant Glasgow has got a new extension. And then we have like 5 minutes to write that up
to react
before practice starts. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened this week, and it could even happen tomorrow. And if you're listening to this on Friday, it could have already happened. Like, I think it's going to happen sooner than later.
All right, pads are on. We kind of discussed this a little bit. What happens in the trenches and in the backfield?
Yeah, so they didn't put the pads on in the spring, so it's really hard to ascertain what's going on with the offensive and defensive lines. It's really hard to get a good grasp of the running backs because they're just going through the motions. And they don't tackle the running backs. The defense is just supposed to touch him, and then every defender is supposed to touch him so that coaches can see how long it takes you to get from point A to point B. But now we'll get a better chance to see who's not making it through the hole, and then who's not creating holes. You know, if there's been a lot of talk about Ben Shell being in the mix for this left guard spot, right? Because he's this big run defender, run blocker. But like, if he's going to start camp on the third team, and if he's starting camp on the third team and he's facing the third team defensive line and he's not opening holes, well, he's not going to move up. But if he is opening holes, well, now he's got a chance where he can see if he can maybe start repping with the twos. And then we can see what happens from there. But now that the pads are on, we'll get a much better feel for the offensive and defensive lines. And then, you know, is Ty Johnson hitting the holes? And then does he have that electric speed after?
Or everybody's getting too excited about Ty Johnson.
Or is Ty Johnson going to get stuffed in the backfield and we never get to see that speed unleashed? Because you can have all the speed in the world, but if you can't make it through the hole, we don't know. In the spring, he made it through every hole because that's what happens in the spring. That's what you're supposed to do. Now that those holes have the ability to close, we'll see if he can still make it through. And we'll really get to see what happened. What if he is going to be able to live up to the hype, because that hype train is really starting to turn up on him quite a bit.
When will we see the $90 million man, Trey Flowers?
That's a good question. That's one that I'm really curious about. I think, like I said, it's a minor injury. I don't think they are going to rush him in any, you know, way.
Yeah, nor should they. Even though I'm sure everybody really wants to see him, I would too. You want to see the new free agent acquisition out there, but at the same time, you'd rather have him out there and healthy. There's a balance between those two things.
Remember, the big free agent acquisition last year was Devin Kennard, and he started on the PUP list, and he came off like, you know, 4 days, 3 days, something like that. So he didn't even start out there either. So, you know, it's
so repressed. We don't get to see anything around here.
We will. It just, you have to be patient. That's just the way it is now.
All right, next is, how has the linebacker unit changed? And I bet that goes even further than just Jelani Tavai.
Well, Tavai is going to be a big part, I think, of how this linebacker unit has changed. Because what we saw in the spring was a different linebacker unit. The things that they were doing, the combinations of what they were doing, the placement. They really have the capabilities of playing four linebackers at a time if they want to. Whereas last year, they spent 75% of the time with three of them and then 25% of the time with only two of them. Now they can go four. And that's not something they could have done a year ago. So it's going to be a lot of things. You know, does Jalen Reeves maybe get more hype now that he's, you know, put on some weight and he fits the system a little bit better? Are we going to see more Jack linebackers in different spots? Where are they going to put Tavai? Will Tavai allow Davis to move to different spots? Like, it's a whole bunch of stuff that is going to be different from the linebacker group this year. We're going to get, I think, a lot of the same from the defensive line and a lot of the same from the secondary, but that linebacker unit is going to be, it's going to be an eye-opener for people who haven't, you know, from what we saw last year anyways.
Red flag, bad sign, Jalen Reeves, Maven, more weight.
He still looks fine. To me, he looked fine, but yeah, he does have more weight. I think that was something that they requested, and you know, he still looked agile to me. I wasn't concerned about it.
The battle at cornerback too, or in other words, opposite Darius Slay.
Yeah, so in the fall, or in the spring, it was Melvin and Tabor. Now that Slay's back, is it Tease that goes to the bench, or is it Melvin that goes to the bench? My guess is it's Tease that goes to the bench, and he'll go to the with the second unit, and it'll be, my rough prediction is Slay, Coleman, Melvin is your first team. Tabor, Agnew, Cooper are your second team. Ford, Shashir, and Oruwariye is your third team. That's my rough outline on what I think the cornerbacks are going to look like as we start training camp anyways.
All right, can Jamal Agnew hang on to his returner role? Hang on. I bet there's more Ty Johnson talk coming.
Ty Johnson, Tommy Lee Lewis, who unfortunately is on the PUP, Brandon Powell. These guys are all in the mix. And Agnew, you know, struggled as a slot corner guy last year. So he will need to improve there. And if he doesn't improve as a slot corner, then he really needs to significantly beat out everybody else for that return job. He's another guy that a lot of the beat writers are saying could be vulnerable. Lions Wire's Jeff Risden has said it. Pride of Detroit's Jeremy Reisman, who was on with us a few weeks back, has said he thinks Agnew's vulnerable. I am not. It's another situation where I'm in the minority. I think he has value as a dime slot corner and a returner. And I think we forget, because he was injured last year, how dynamic of a return guy he can actually be.
All right, and finally, this is your deep cut of the what to watch for at training camp. The battle for the gunner roles.
Well, this is realistically, your last five spots on the roster are probably, two of them are going to go to your gunners, right? And that's just how roster construction typically works. When you're debating those last few spots, are you going to keep this corner or this sixth receiver or even fifth receiver? Which one is going to provide you the best bang for your buck on your gunner roles? Last year, it was Charles Washington, and then it was a rotating door on the other side. It was Mike Ford at times. It was Andy Jones at times. It was even, I don't think Tavon Wilson was a gunner. I think he was just a follow, one of the second wave guys. But I thought both Ford and Andy Jones looked sharp. I thought Charles Washington looked sharp. And I thought, there was one more guy who I thought stood out to me. Oh, Agnew. I thought Agnew looked decent as a gunner as well. Charles Washington, like Agnew, needs to show he can do more than just special teams, because a guy like Mike Ford can. A guy like Andy Jones can. Andy Jones and Mike Ford can both do more. And if Agnew loses a returner job, and he's struggling as a slot corner, but he's still good as a gunner, and you're putting him up against Mike Ford, who can do both, well, Mike Ford's going to win that job, right? I think Ford and Andy Jones can bring more to the table right now than Washington does, and I think that's bad for Washington, which is sad because I think he's a capable NFL gunner. He just, it's going to be the back end roster moves, like the last couple, it's going to be pretty tight, and that who can be a gunner is going to be one of the things that decides one of those last couple spots.
All right, so the next little tidbit of news is something that's really just surfaced in the last 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
It is Ricky Jean-Francois is in town and has met with the team, and could he end up being on the team? I'm going to throw a piece onto this. I would assume he's not going to sign with the team unless he feels pretty good that he's going to have a spot on the 53-man roster.
He could come in and take his spot that he had last year, with Robinson in hand, right in that rotation, right? So I think he could find a spot. He loves Patricia. We talked about this just last podcast, where we said we thought it would be a good idea to bring him in, and then sure enough, here it comes in the last 24 hours. He's back in town and meeting with the Lions. I wouldn't be surprised to see them announce that he's made the roster, and that, you know, they're going to lose somebody else, like one of the other rookie defensive linemen could end up being, you know.
No, it's easy when you look at the list. You could, who are the cuttable guys? Like, mm-hmm. What are they going to keep? 9 defensive linemen, maybe 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
I think less of the down guys.
Down linemen.
6.
Okay, it's only going to be 6.
6 or 7.
So
yeah.
Prognosticating: A'shaun Robinson, Deshaun Hand, Damon Harrison, Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara. That's 5.
Mm-hmm.
PJ Johnson probably has an inside track.
Him, Atkins, or Kilgo will be number 6. And then if you want to keep
tougher than it looks,
and if you want to keep 7, you could keep Ricky Jean. But if you're going to bring in Ricky Jean, you're getting a veteran leader. You're getting a guy who knows how to play. You're getting a good leader, a good locker room guy. But then you're probably going to have to lose somebody else somewhere. Like that, it could, if you bring Ricky Jean in, it could cost Malik Kearney a job. You know what I mean? And that's a young guy that a lot of people like, and a guy that we've talked about as being a sleeper that could break out. But what does this roster need? Does it need a veteran guy who can play the 3-5, or
you need as many linemen as
I mean that's the thing, is where is this team lacking depth? And if they think, and it seems like, based on, look, they brought Pecco in to talk to him, right? They seem to be looking for somebody to answer the bell as a depth spot. And it kind of makes me think they're looking for that down defensive lineman number 7.
All right. Finally, we're going to talk about another one of your recent articles from the past week here, probably the last couple days. Dispelling the national narratives about the Detroit Lions. So, number one, do the Lions run a 4-3 or a 3-4 defense?
Well, neither, right?
False.
Right. God, it really drove me batty during draft season, right? And we talked about it at the time. They don't run a 4-3. They don't run a 3-4. They run a multiple. And I know people don't understand what the multiple means, but or it doesn't fit into the, you know, the blueprint of what a lot of national people want. Like, the national media, in a lot of ways, because they have to cover so many teams and so many players, they want things to be very cookie cutter and easy to understand. And so they want to put everybody in boxes, right? And this team doesn't fit in a box. The Patriots don't fit in a box. Miami now isn't fit in a box. Tennessee, Houston, these teams, it's becoming more and more of this Belichick tree where these defenses aren't necessarily cookie cutter defenses anymore. Yet they want to put a label on it so it's easier for them to understand. And, you know, Risden put an article not too long ago that said the Lions spent 84% of their snaps in nickel or sub packages. 84%.
That was last season. I thought we got some weird stat. Now, I could be mistaken. That was a long time ago. It was probably still really cold in February. That it was a lot closer to 50-50. I thought 2 years ago they were really heavy-handed when it came to the extra defensive back sets, but it kind of moved back in the other direction this past season.
No, this past season they very much had multiple. The 84% is, and that's, and in my,
well, I understand that, yeah,
right. And in my opinion, I thought 84% was on the low side. I thought it was going to be closer to 90 this past season. I think the season prior under Caldwell, you saw some shifts like that from Austin. I think in Austin,
maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I think then, but in Patricia's system, it's a staple to have these basically to live in a sub-package defense.
All right, two tight end formations won't be the primary formation on offense.
You know, when I wrote an article and we talked about this earlier in the offseason, my basic conclusion was that even the heaviest of two tight end formation teams in the league over the past several years at most ran it 40-45% of the time. And so, even if you're in the heaviest, that's still not your primary formation, right? So I think there's going to be a big change from what we're used to, but I think it's not going to be an every down thing, like people, I think, were believing when they signed Jesse James and then drafted Hockenson.
A shift in the offensive philosophy isn't because of Matthew Stafford.
No, I think if you've been paying attention to Bevel and what he's said over the past few weeks, the things that he's saying actually play into Stafford's strengths. And the fact that they want to be more aggressive plays into Stafford's strengths. The fact that they want to go deep and take deep shots plays into Stafford's strengths. They want to be a little bit more mobile with him, that plays into Stafford's strengths. When he's mobile, there was a study that I think PFF did, and it was on Pride of Detroit did it. Put an article out about it, about how efficient Stafford is when he's on the run. So I think it's Stafford's to help.
Stafford's contract isn't holding him back from adding players.
I mean, look, this one's simple. You got $23 million still. They have the top 10 most salary cap room in the league. Just because he makes big money doesn't mean it's
preventing them. Only eighth among quarterbacks, right?
8.
Yep, yep.
He's only in the top quarter now. All right.
That still doesn't matter. They still have money is the point.
Slay and Harrison's holdout had nothing to do with culture.
Yeah, it's about money, right? That was a really ugly one that I got tired of real quick. But that was prevalent among some national pundits.
A starting job isn't being handed to Tyus Tabor.
A lot of people believe this. And nationally, people picked it up. They said, oh, he's starting in camp. And
no,
then
but
they
that's
said,
a tidbit that you're just fishing for. I can understand that one.
No, but there was also a... I don't want to say the organization that did it because I don't want to call anybody out, but there was an organization, a large football organization, that said, oh, the Lions need to figure out what they're doing at cornerback too, because Tabor wasn't, he didn't do a good job as a starter last year. Well, he wasn't starting last year. He's not starting this year.
All right, and finally, Jelani Tavai isn't a threat to Jared Davis.
No, just because they drafted him in the second round, he's going to complement this linebacker crew. He's not here to replace Jared Davis like some people have kind of falsely put out there.
All right, that's all we got for today. Also worth noting, there's been a lot of talk about it, and there's some stuff out there. Barry Sanders retired 20 years ago this week,
yeah.
And 4 days from now.
Yep, yep.
It's a sad day in the history of the franchise if you were following the team at that time.
Yes. Yep. I actually didn't even... I didn't get to read any of those articles that the...
No, it's not that you had to. Do you remember how you felt at the time?
More surprised, I guess, than anything.
All right, you know what? Forget that question because we are running out of time.
Okay.
How would we have found out today? Back then... Barry ended up in London.
Yeah.
And some people ended up taking some pictures and ended up sending it back, but it took like days for any of that to be figured out. And he faxed a letter in.
To Windsor. Yeah, right?
Wichita. Local paper with a writer he knew or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's how it was done back then. Shocking, surprising, but not that far out there for Barry. Today, tons of people are going to be taking pictures of him at Metro Airport. Yeah. Instead of being a training camp, he's on the flight to London. People are going to be taking videos of him sitting next to them in first class going to London. And we'd know, like, immediately.
Immediately. Yes. Yeah.
It'd be a much different world.
And yes. Yes. From a media standpoint, there's no hiding anymore.
Yeah, which is probably a bad thing. But anyhow.
Maybe.
That's it. We got some shout-outs. We have some... We had a big bump in... listener reviews, and that's fantastic. Please keep them coming.
Yeah, we're
begging for them.
We talked about the fact that we were just a couple away reviews away from 200, and there was only two other Lions podcasts that had 200 reviews, and we were anxious to get there, and then sure enough, we did. Now we're up at 206. We got 4 very nice written reviews, which is very helpful, and they tell new listeners, you know, what to expect from us. Max Air RT, which is Roland, I believe he's written one for us before. He gave us an updated one. Sean Sweeney, I know we've gotten questions from him. He might have even just updated his, but he put a new one out there. TJ Mass 40 had some nice things to say, and then Jared R, a Lions fan, who wrote the most recent one, had a very long one. It was very nice, very complimentary, and really explained to a new listener or someone interested in us. What to expect, and I think he did a nice job of, helping sell us in the right direction, which we really appreciated. So
yeah, great reviews.
Yes,
they're
across
great
the board.
To read, fun to read.
Across the board.
Very ego boosting.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and I need that. I'm sensitive.
Eric needs it. I don't need it as much because in one ear, out the other. But Eric, he sure does. I enjoy it, too. It's great. And thank all of you for doing that. And thanks for everybody just for listening in general. And that's it. That's all we got for this week.
Yeah.
Enjoy training camp, especially Eric. Yes. To see Eric, go up to him, start talking to him, start distracting him from watching what's going on the field. He'll love it. So say hello to Eric. And until next time, let's go Lions.